Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
We got a real treat in this episode as Randy Snow of the World of Football podcast joins us to talk about one of his favorite players, favorite player jerseys, and it inspires me to learn a little bit more about the player too. And we come from the World of Football for you with great stories about a great person coming up in just a moment. My name's Darren Hayes, and I know you've heard me on the Pigskin Dispatch talking about football history for years. Well, now I'm on a new mission, a quest to find sports history in other sports, as well as football, by learning through the jerseys and the apparel and the gear that the players wore and the franchises supplied their teams. It's an educational trip, and I'm taking you with me day by day, player by player, uniform by uniform, the Sports Jersey Dispatch.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, sports friends. This is Darren Hayes of the Sports Jersey Dispatch Podcast, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, your place to learn about great sports history through the uniforms and gear that the competitors wore. And we start off today with a real special guest, Randy Snow of the World of Football Podcast and World of Football Kalamazoo website is coming in to join us to tell us about his favorite player jersey and the player that wore it, with some great history, and gave me a little bit of inspiration after there to talk about that same player, just a little bit more detail with some interesting facts about him. So I'll hand it over to Randy Snow, World of Football.
Hi, this is Randy Snow from the podcast This Week in the World of Football. Each week, my son Adam and I talk about all things football. We talk about the NFL, the Canadian Football League, the XFL, the USFL, college, high school, indoor and arena football. We love it all, and we talk about it all. Our show is broadcast from Kalamazoo, Michigan, which everyone knows is the center of the football world. Today I want to talk about one of my favorite jersey numbers and the man who wore it. It's the number 22. Now, living in Michigan and being a Detroit Lions fan, you might think that I'd be talking about the great Lions quarterback of the 1950s, Bobby Lane. And while he is certainly worthy of a lengthy discussion, I want to talk about someone who wore it a bit more recently, Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback Doug Flutie. Flutie wore the number 22 when he was playing at Boston College and threw his famous Hail Mary pass to beat the Miami Hurricanes in 1984. He was selected by the Los Angeles Rams in the 11th round of the 1985 NFL Draft, but chose instead to sign with the New Jersey Generals of the USFL. He wore number 22 with the Generals and became one of the many stars of the league. But the USFL folded after the 1985 season. Flutie then signed with the Chicago Bears in 1986 and had to switch to the number 2 because quarterbacks in the NFL were not allowed to wear a number higher than 19. He signed with the New England Patriots in 1987 and continued to wear the number 2 for the next two seasons until he decided to take his talents to the Canadian Football League in 1990, signing with the British Columbia Lions. The Lions allowed him to wear the number 22 north of the border, which he did for two seasons. In 1992, Flutie signed with the Calgary Stampeders, where he played until 1995 and wore the number 20. He finished his CFL career with the Toronto Argonauts in 1996 and 1997, wearing number 2. While he was in Canada, he threw for over 6,000 yards in a season twice and over 5,500 yards in a season four times. He won three CFL Grey Cup titles, one with Calgary and two with Toronto. He was named the CFL's most outstanding player six times and was inducted into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame in 2008. Flutie returned to the NFL in 1998 when he was signed by the Buffalo Bills, and he wore the number 7. He also wore the number 7 during his time with the San Diego Chargers, but in his final NFL season in 2005, he wore the number 2 once again with the New England Patriots. That was the season when he made the first drop kick for an extra point in the NFL since 1941. While he may have worn several numbers over the course of his college and professional playing career, I will always think of Doug Flutie wearing the number 22 and being one of the most entertaining quarterbacks to ever step onto the gridiron.
Thanks, Randy. That was an awesome take. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about your favorite player, that number 22 jersey of Doug Flutie. Very interesting guy indeed. And you know, it's pretty inspirational what Randy just talked about. Make sure you check out Randy and his son, Adam Snow, on the World of Football podcast. We have links to it in our show notes and on pigskindispatch.com in the article today on Doug Flutie. Make sure you check those out. Now, for anyone younger than 30 years old, the name Doug Flutie might not mean much to them in respect to football history. Yes, if you look at his mere NFL stats, that would say he was somebody that was a decent arm on an undersized quarterback by most NFL standards. It just couldn't hold a consistent gig with any particular franchise. This, too, would be a fair statement, but Flutie had an it factor about him. Not every starting signal caller has the it factor. But by gosh, Doug Flutie definitely did. Now, his NFL stats aren't all that great. I mean, he played 13 years in a league with an 8-year gap in between. We'll talk about that in a second, like Randy just did. But his NFL stats were he completed 1,177 passes on 2,151 attempts for 54.7% of his completions, 14,715 total yards, 86 touchdowns, and 68 interceptions. So not bad numbers, but more of a journeyman quarterback. Like he said, you played Chicago, New England, Buffalo, San Diego, back with New England. That's five different teams in the NFL, if you count New England twice. Okay, so now take those 14,000 some odd yards in the NFL and 86 touchdowns and combine that with 41,355 yards in the CFL and another 270 touchdowns in 8 seasons. So that's 21 years, and quick math tells me almost 56,000 yards and almost 360 some touchdowns. That's right up there with some of the greats of all time. And I understand the CFL is a little bit better, a little bit different game. There's no running in it. It's more passing. There's more players. There's more yardage. There's more, it's more of a more geared to the passing game. But those are still some phenomenal numbers. And even by CFL standards, like we said, he was the number one CFL player of all time by TSN in 2006. And is a member of the Canada Sports Hall of Fame and a College Football Hall of Fame. And, just some phenomenal awards that he won. He was all-Canadian quarterback, 91 through 94. CFL's most outstanding player four different times. Six different times. The Jeff Nicklin Memorial Trophy. He won that in six different occasions. All-Eastern quarterback four different times. Grey Cup participant in two different times. Grey Cup winning teams. I believe that he had three or four of those. Three times he won the Grey Cup, 92, 96, and 97. Won the Heisman Trophy. Had that one of the most outstanding plays in college football history. As we talked about with that great pass to Phelan on that Hail Mary at the end of the Miami game to just take BC to a whole new place, Boston College, that BC. He also played for BC Lions in the CFL. Yeah, two different BC teams. That's quite unique. And, just a great player. He's had a lot of adversity in his whole life and, through his whole career, as a matter of fact. He is not known, but he grew up in Florida. His father was a quality engineer in the aerospace industry down in Florida. And, as he went through junior high, Doug Flutie took his junior high team to two county championships. So things are looking pretty good for him. All of a sudden, the space industry sort of falls out in the mid to late 70s. His father loses his job in aerospace, and the family has to move. They move to Massachusetts, from Florida to Massachusetts. Probably a big weather shock there for them, I'm sure. But, you know, Flutie's coaches down in Florida are sitting there literally licking their chops saying, hey, we got our high school starting quarterback for the next 4 years. This kid will start as a freshman. He's winning games and everything. Well, he goes up and plays high school ball up in Massachusetts and, you know, ends up being a three-sport star. You know, football, basketball, baseball. Just outstanding at all three. He ends up being, you know, all county, and you know he's an all-star at football. Gets to go to Boston College. They're looking at him. Oh, he's a little bit undersized and everything. Ends up winning the starting job there. Wins the Heisman Trophy his senior year. You know, gets ready to go in the NFL. And there, he gets drafted by the Rams, and you know he may have played for the Rams. They were looking at him, but the USFL offers a whole lot more money. The USFL is just starting out. He goes to the USFL, plays for the New Jersey Generals, and you know has a great season or two there. And you know he's back, you know, ready to go into the NFL. Plays a little bit, and that gets bounced around a little bit with the Bears and the Patriots and San Diego. Goes to CFL and is an all-star, you know, is a champion, and just some great adversity. Now, his family has also had some adversity. You know, he had one of his children had some disease that, you know, just was misfortunate. But the Fluties are such remarkable people. They turned that into some great things, and he did some, became like a spokesperson of this whole group, and bonded with people and made them feel good and put a positive spin on it. You know, created the Flutie Flakes to help support the cause, and just did some fantastic things. You know, just all through his career, makes a comeback in the NFL after the great CFL career, and supposed to be like the veteran leader to the Buffalo Bills so that Rob Johnson can be, you know, sort of mentor him. And Johnson gets hurt, and what's Flutie do? He takes him to a winning record and brings hope to Buffalo. And, you know, just some remarkable things he does. And like Randy says, you know, he kicks the first drop kick in decades in the NFL for points. That's the way Doug Flutie is, has the it factor. And, you know, just I'm glad Randy talked about him and just some great things. Now, I want to pass on one last thing before we go. Doug has a very interesting story. In his last season with Patriots, the year he did the drop kick, I believe it was 2004, Tom Brady decided to take Flutie and a bunch of the other offensive players out for, you know, just a bonding weekend. And he took them to a local casino, and they were going to, you know, stay overnight. They had to drive a little bit. It wasn't real local. And they had to drive quite a distance, so probably a couple hours. So they're on their way there. They're all going to meet there. And Tom says he's going to pick up the whole bill just to get the team the bond, the offensive team. So when he ends up getting there, he goes to reach for his wallet and doesn't have his wallet. Apparently, he had stopped for gas. As he's paying for the gas, he puts the wallet up on the hood of his car, on the roof of his car, I guess, and forgets about it, finishes pumping the gas, drives off, you know, wallet's gone. He has no money. So the other players that he invited there to treat them end up having to pay the money, and they had some good ribbing with Tom, I'm sure, and I'm sure he was sick about it. Well, the best part of this story is some good Samaritan finds the wallet, sees it's his, takes it to the police. The police end up finding out, you know, it's Tom Brady. They figure out a way to get in touch with him. I'm not sure how they did that. They deliver the wallet to him. All the money's in it. All the credit cards are in it. Everything's intact. This good Samaritan returned the wallet to great legendary Tom Brady. And plus all his buddies got a good laugh, including Flutie, of having Tom forget his wallet. And funny thing is, he didn't fumble all that much in his whole career, but hanging on to the wallet for that one trip with the boys, well, he couldn't hang on to that. So just a great story, and, you know, great story of Doug Flutie, and that's what's the kind of guy he is. Just brings a smile to your face, but definitely had that factor, and I'm glad we got to talk about him today. And I learned a lot about Doug Flutie, and I thank Randy Snow. I thank the Monroe Brothers for the great music, Jason Neff for the music, and also, you know, for the great reference help from, you know, ESPN.com and some of the other great articles that we got to read about them, ProFootballReference.com and StatHead. And hope you'll join us next time that we talk about some more legendary players and uniforms and learn about the great sports history of the game. So till next time, have some great sports history days. We're dribbling around and see the shot clock's almost out, so we got to put up our shot and come back tomorrow for some more great sports history. We invite you to check out our websites, jerseydispatch.com and pigskindispatch.com, not only see the daily sports history, but to experience the preservation of great events and people that play the games. Find us on Pigskin Dispatch. It's also on social media outlets of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all your daily sports history. Pigskin Dispatch is happy to be associated with the Sports History Network, the sports headquarters of yesteryear, found at sportshistorynetwork.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.